tonight, ladies and gentlemen, episode 3. We made it. We made it.
We're still on day one.
Yeah, day one. We have just left the Peace Arch. By the way, you're tuning into Across America with your host, Jack Austin, and as always, Mr. Robert Lamb.
Hi, kids.
Still going. Hi, kids and adult folk and everyone who's chosen to tune in this third time.
By the way, it's NSFW. Sorry.
NSFW.
Yeah.
Not
just
safe
in case,
for
not
work.
Yeah.
That's what NSFW stands for, I'm pretty sure.
NSFK. Not safe for kids.
Not safe for kids. So don't pop this on in the middle of the living room.
Right.
And give it the good old listen. So we skipped a minor detail on the second episode where you three hooligans.
Yep.
Homeless
hooligans. Yep.
New band name, called it. You three homeless hooligans got stopped by Border Patrol.
Yeah. So basically, I'm going to go because I think I talked about kind of how when we left for the first day, but I didn't like encompass what happened that whole first day. And it was actually pretty funny. The first day after we left the Peace Arch Park, we're walking down these kind of side roads. We're trying to head to, I'll try to look it up as I'm talking, but we're trying to head to like a certain highway. And we're heading on these side roads, and it's right kind of like parallel with the Canadian border. And literally, we were probably walking for less than an hour, and all of a sudden, the cops pulled to the side of the road. But we realized they're not cops, they're Border Patrol. And we're just like, shit, like we've been walking for like 40 minutes and we're already getting like stopped by somebody. So whatever, it's Border Patrol. They come out, they're like, hey guys, what's going on? We're just like, yeah, we're walking across the country. We're heading to Key West. They're like, well, you're pretty far from that. Yeah. And we're like, we just started. Like,
we've been walking for a week.
Yeah. We're really slow.
Yeah.
So like, they're like, all right, well, can we see some ID? So we show them our ID, and they basically just go, okay, well, we just wanted to make sure that you guys aren't from Canada. And I'm like, are there a lot of people, like Canadians, like sneaking into America? I don't know if that's like a big thing.
I don't either.
I didn't know if that was, but apparently they're there to make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So,
and we're talking about like a lot of everybody's favorite celebrities are from Canada.
Oh, all of them.
And, you know, everybody loves to talk about, you know, the universal health care they've got over there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know if they've got a lot of people trying to sneak in here, because you have both sides of that opinion. We're not going to get political into that. But, I mean, I don't imagine a lot of people are trying to sneak into the United States.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, if we were Canadian, like,
yeah,
like, I don't know. One, we're not very, like, inconspicuous. We're carrying backpacks, and we're, like, right by the border.
Right.
And we're like, on a road. We're not, like, hiding in bushes.
Sir, I've got my 6-pound laptop here. You want to inspect that as well?
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah, one of you guys slips an A, and you're in the back of the truck.
Oh, dude, we made sure. We didn't say any words with A.
Nothing.
Yeah.
French fries and gravy were off the table.
Yeah.
You guys didn't know anything about hockey.
No, they're actually pretty cool, though. They're just like, all right, we just wanted to make sure.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm like, that's fine. And they just stopped us, asked us a couple questions, and then we were on our way. And I'm like looking at the map right now, and I'm trying to think, like, you know, we were taking all these like little side roads, and we were trying to head over to 539, which is kind of like this highway that just heads straight down, and
straight down.
We were honestly
through Oregon and
through
California.
No, yeah, straight down through, like, yeah. I mean, if you look at a map, it just heads down towards Bellingham, which is kind of a bigger, like, not a huge city in Washington, but bigger than Blaine. And that's kind of where we were heading. We never planned more than like 2 days ahead of time because we never knew what path we were going to take. So, like, that first day, we're just like, let's just walk as long as we can, take as many rests as we can, and when it starts getting dark, look for a place to camp.
Yeah.
And that first night, I think we didn't know how we really wanted to approach the camping situation, but we were, like, still kind of in the rural area, and there was a few houses, and I remember Tony going, like, why don't we just ask one of these people if there's like a place around here where we can camp. And I'm like, all right. I'm like, because I didn't know if we should do, just like pick a spot that might be private property or not. Just pick a spot and camp there.
That would have been a great way to start the trip.
Exactly. Or ask somebody. So we're like, let's try asking someone the first night. Let's see. So we went up to a house.
Oh,
and we just like knocked on the door, and there's like a dog barking. I'm like, you know, maybe we shouldn't do this. Like, we're just
people
approaching
are just
houses.
Screaming, no, thank you.
Well, and the lady, like, she didn't open the door all the way. She's like, who are you guys? And we're just like, all right, hold on. This is going to sound really weird.
We're here to eat your children. Do you have any? Me and my friends here are a pack of roving cannibals. We were hoping to eat you and or your family.
Hey, they might appreciate that more than even Jehovah's Witnesses, so you never know. But,
anybody knocking on your door now is crazy.
It is. It's like, because nowadays, that doesn't happen as often.
So even worse, there's three of you.
Three of us, all male.
All male.
Beards.
All wearing huge backpacks,
right?
Beards,
yeah.
And you're knocking on this poor woman's door.
And I should say beards that, like, we just didn't shave before, like, the trip or whatever.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's not like we, like, in one day just had full-on bushy beard.
You guys are ZZ Topping it right off the plane.
Yeah. No, but, yeah, three guys approach this girl, this lady's house, and she's, like, holding her dog back. She's like, what's going on? We're like, oh, we're just wondering, like, we're not from around here. Do you know of any places where, like, we can set up a camp? We're walking across the country. She's just like, what are you doing? We're like, we're walking across the country. If that makes sense. She's like, you can't camp over here. We're like, okay. Jesus.
You just can't camp here, sir. Don't let me let Patches off the train.
I'm like
he'll ruin your whole trip.
Dude, I was like, all right, obviously this lady's not having it. Let's just go.
She
that was the wrong move. But again, we were still learning what to do.
You're like, ma'am, we're walking across the country and consequently selling vacuum cleaners.
Would you mind if I walk
in and show you a small demonstration?
Do you have a pillow that we can shrink in front of your eyes?
Ma'am, please don't be alarmed. I'm going to throw this bag of nickels all over your floor and vacuum
just
it up.
Just vacuum them up.
And if at the end of that presentation you want to buy a vacuum cleaner,
that's fine. And can tell us where we can camp.
Yeah.
That's it. No, after that, we were just like, all right, let's not do that. Because it was also starting to get dark. And I'm like, I'm not going to people's houses.
I was
going to
say, strike one. You knock on the first door and just get immediate overwhelmingly negative reaction.
You can't camp here.
Sir, the state of Washington doesn't allow camping.
Ever. Anywhere. Anywhere in the state.
Right.
Try Idaho.
So did you guys, obviously you ended up finding something.
Well, yeah. So that first day, it started getting dark. And we're like, we have to just find someplace. Yeah. We're kind of on this road. It's like a smaller road. There's houses on both sides. But eventually we come across this like little wooded area that's in between properties. And we're just like, you know what? We could probably just go in there, go behind some trees, camp there.
Yeah.
And the same person that I mentioned earlier that I read, this guy who wrote an article about walking across the country, not the same path, but he walked like from California to like someplace on the East Coast. And he said that he did a thing called stealth camping, which meant that when it starts getting dark, you look for a place that you can camp where other people aren't going to see you at night.
Yeah.
And then you wake up early enough, you pack up your stuff,
you're
and you leave before it's morning.
You.
Yeah, so they don't even know. So stealth camping is actually what I did the most of. I didn't ask people where I could camp. I didn't always have a campsite or a motel that I could get. So I just did stealth camping, finding bushes on the side of the road, camping behind them, and then moving
and
on.
And one of the absolute worst scenarios is somebody wakes you up and tells you to move.
Right.
I mean, obviously, there's the opposite.
They could
chop your head off.
Yeah, they could be a psychopath.
Or take advantage of you in all the worst ways. The
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, wear my skin the next
day.
But
in the normal situation, somebody's going to be like, hey, dude, can you please pick up and move on?
Well, and that was the only thing. Is that I will say, out of all the things I was worried about on this trip from the get-go, it was never animals. It was never like running out of food or water. It was always like I didn't want to get messed with by people that just wanted to mess with me. And not to say that people are notoriously bad in any certain area. It was just I didn't want to be at 2 a.m. being woken up by a chainsaw or like something, some weird guy making weird noises and dancing to the moonlight. You know what I mean? Like right outside my tent. Like Ed Gein or some shit.
I'm about to sacrifice you. Can you please stay still?
Yeah. Do you mind coming out of this tent? I will kill you.
Yeah. Sir, I just thought it'd be polite to tell you that I plan on murdering you, but
whenever you feel like getting home.
Yeah. I'm a patient man.
Yeah. And just sits out there waiting
with
his axe. Yeah.
I'm a patient person.
I'm just saying that was one thing I was always worried about. So I'm like, stealth camping made sense. Finding some bushes or trees.
Yeah.
Going in there and then just waking up early in the morning and taking off before.
I imagine you've got to. If the goal is to get walking and get moving.
Yeah. Right.
My butt is up when the sun is, if not a handful before.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm moving.
Yeah. So that first night, we did find a little patch of, like, woods, and we just camped in there. Didn't have any problem. It wasn't even that far from that lady who, like, turned us away. I'm just like, whatever.
Her and Pat just showed up at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
What did I tell you?
Camp here.
I told you there's no camping. I got patches
get
in
out
the,
of here.
I got patches in my Volkswagen.
She just ripped the tent apart.
Yeah. Okay, so all right, so the tent.
Mm-hmm.
One of you is carrying the tent, but right. all three of you are sleeping in it.
Well, and that's every day we were here. Okay, here's what was supposed to happen.
Right.
Every day we alternate who carries the tent. But, and this is something that I always think is funny, is Tony and Cody, because they were carrying their backpacks, were like, come on, Robert, just carry your backpack. It's more of a challenge and blah, blah, blah. Like, why don't you be a man, be a man. They would like make fun of me because I'm pulling the backpack. And that was fine.
Man.
We all made fun of each other.
Uh-huh.
But that was their whole thing is like, oh, you're pulling your backpack. No wonder you can walk longer and all this kind of stuff. But when I was pulling my backpack, they're like, you carry the tent, though, because that way they didn't have to carry the extra. I think the tent was either 6 or 7 pounds.
Yeah.
So putting it on the wheels and pulling it on my backpack, you know, it wasn't a big deal to me because pulling 7 pounds isn't like carrying 7 pounds on your shoulder. So they were like, yeah, you carry the tent then because you're pulling your backpack. So after that first day, because I was still using the wheels, I had to have the tent. But
yeah.
whenever I did, like on the rare occasions where I did carry the backpack, because maybe we were walking through like a dirt road or something like that, I would make one of them carry the tent at that point. So it was all fair and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keeping it fair. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to sit there and say, yeah, you can challenge my manhood all you want, buddy. Here's the tent. Enjoy.
I just like, I've always had like kind of like back problems too. Like,
sure.
I don't know. So I was like, I'm not even going to test it. If I don't have to, if my wheels break, then I'll carry the backpack or something. Or if there's like a road and I had to do it, then that's fine.
Yeah.
And the backpack was actually pretty cool. It had like a zipper where you could just pull out the straps, put it on, and then you can zipper it all up when you wanted to pull it. And then it had like different compartments and shit. So yeah, I was fine with it. And I just pulled the tent and when I had to carry it, made them switch off because it's a 7 pounds.
It's a lot,
especially when you're already carrying
it's like holding 5 pounds out at your sides is nothing.
Yeah,
but if you're holding it for an hour,
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh my gosh,
yeah,
this is getting heavy.
Exactly.
So all right, so you got your first full day in, your first full night.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling optimistic? Are you feeling like, oh, this is gonna be so dumb, why did I do this?
No, after the first night.
I
know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Dude, trust me. And we'll get to those too. There were times where I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But this wasn't one of them. The first night was actually pretty good. We slept well. Because we had a 3-person tent, but we had our backpacks too. So it was a tight fit. And we actually, I think 2 of us left our backpacks outside, but we tied them to the tent or whatever.
Right.
Just to give us more room in the tent because it was kind of a tight fit. But other than that, like, it was decent sleep. You know, I had a sleeping bag and, you know, I don't think we even had any problems like that first time. But
problems in the tent, I don't think we're talking about
no,
that.
No, you're right.
I mean,
right.
Like, you know. You find out a lot about each other.
Oh, well, yes. There was a lot of spooning. hands were places.
Right. Good morning.
It was very much like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. My hand, I thought, was between 2 pillows. Turned out it was between 2 other things. And, you know, it's just a lot of touching and groping.
Sure, sure.
No, actually, we slept. That was the big thing is, like, who gets middle? We switch off getting middle. Like, I don't want middle. I don't want middle. We, like,
right.
every day. Every night was, like, who gets middle?
See, I play that. I play a little reverse psychology there.
Mm-hmm.
I get in the tent, and I'm like, I call middle.
Yeah.
And then it freaks everybody else out.
Because
we don't want him in the middle. I think this is a bad idea.
I guess. But then you can only spoon with one person.
I got big arms, buddy.
I guess.
Everybody's getting inside this big old soup spoon. Come here, boys.
Well, that's one thing is like I sleep on my stomach. So it wasn't like a huge thing, but I don't like sleeping in the middle on my stomach because then I'm like facing. I even think we slept foot to head. Like we alternated. So it was like, I don't know. We were trying to make it as like no offense to gay people, but as less gay as we could.
Right.
But we were right next to each other.
You guys weren't. weren't trying to. Right, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand completely. No. So you guys Jenga'd it up, and one of you put your feet in the middle.
Yeah, I understand.
Completely.
So then that way it's foot to face. But then I always remember Seinfeld where he's like, "Who cares? Your genitals are still lined up."
Right.
But which is
they're
true,
still
but,
all in the middle. Back to the group that if I had to take people, I would have to be very selective about who I chose. Because I have some handsy friends.
Really?
I don't know what
just
it is.
Nonstop.
My wife lives in a constant state of worry.
Really?
Dang.
Yeah.
So you're one of those handsy people, too.
Hey, man, you know me. The first time I ever saw you, I hugged you, and I gave you the under-the-arms hug.
And it lasted for, what, like 7-8 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm one of those guys that'll hug you and just hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And then
and
just
carry around the room.
At some point, just go, thank you. I needed this.
Luckily, my friends aren't like that. No, I think
it couldn't have been that big of a deal. And you know, I'm sure night after night after night, it doesn't matter anymore. Whatever.
Oh, dude, after that much walking, you're kind of just tired.
Yeah.
And like I will say though, because I was pulling my backpack that first day, I didn't have any blisters. But I think I don't remember if Tony did, but I know for a fact Cody did have blisters the first day.
He got
them, and that kind of sucked because you know we had gauze and I had a first aid kit and like blister packages and stuff like that. So he put some of that stuff on it, but that definitely slows you down for the next like couple days.
If it doesn't physically slow you down, there's literally nothing else on your mind except for that blister on your ankle. Be it
unless
popped
you wrap
or not.
It, yeah. Unless you wrap it up real good where you're not feeling the pressure on it, it's still like it's a pain.
Yeah,
and he had a few.
So, oh man, you know that's something you're gonna think about, and you're like, it's one of those things that a lot of people go, I'll be fine.
Yeah, but
and then you get out there. And you're in Washington. You're in Blaine, Washington, or wherever you guys were at this point. And you're like, I already have a massive blister on my ankle. And we're not even out of the first state.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to get across the entire state of Washington?
I think that one was a month.
Oh
it took a
God.
Month. Yeah. That was the longest because we were just starting out.
Yeah. And
we
getting into a routine.
Yeah. I think we were only doing, in the beginning, like 15 miles a day, which essentially I wanted to do more. But because everybody, like, they were carrying their backpacks and they had to rest more and stuff like that, and I wasn't carrying my backpack, it just, like, it didn't affect me as much as it did them.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really get any blisters until I would carry my backpack, and that's when I got blisters. But for the most part, because I was pulling my backpack, it wasn't too much, and I felt like I could walk more. But we were only doing about 15 miles a day, especially for, like, the first 2 or 3 weeks.
And there was a set goal for how many miles you guys were looking to accomplish every day, or was it just kind of like, we'll get up when the sun's up and get down when the sun's down?
Well, yeah, I think because it was the beginning, we weren't sure. We decided, like, we'll start with 15 miles a day, then try to go to 20, then to 25, then maybe even 30.
Yeah.
But I think the average person walks three miles an hour. So you figure if you're eventually doing, you know, 30 miles, you're walking 10 hours a day. And that's not counting for breaks and all that kind of stuff. So we started off doing 15 miles a day. That was the goal. Some of the days we would do like 17 or something like that. And there were a couple where we did 20. And there was a couple where we did less just because maybe we were walking uphill or something like that.
Yeah, that's got to be a factor.
Yeah.
Or you guys are getting out there and it's pouring down rain.
And the weather in Washington for the whole month was just, like they say, cloudy, overcast.
Yeah.
It wasn't always like pouring rain, but it would...
Well, that's what I was
going to
say. I have family that live in Washington, and honestly, it's one of my absolute favorite places in the world. However, it is like that. If you've been to the amusement park where the sun is out and you got that misting fan,
that's what
the weather's like
that's
all
Washington,
the time.
Yeah.
Right. Washington is like a constant
mist.
Shaded misting fan. It's one of those things like you don't even want to get like a raincoat because you don't need one. It's not like here in Florida where you've got tablespoons of raindrop.
Hitting you.
It's just misting on you all day.
We had ponchos, and I remember the first week we pretty much had our ponchos on every day because it just was just raining on and off. And after a while, I was just like, all right, I'm not taking this poncho off again just for it to rain.
Right.
So I just left it on, and it would just be like cloudy. It wasn't hot, which was cool, but it was just like it was kind of just like that, like you're saying, that mist, that light rain, and that also I think added to kind of them getting blisters because they're carrying these big backpacks and walking in the rain, and when your socks get wet it gets really bad then.
Yeah, well, that's That's funny that you mentioned that right now, because I was about to try to segue into questions.
Okay.
And our first question of the day comes from Anna Kane. We got it from Facebook. She wanted to know, how often did you change your socks? And she asks, how many shoes did you wear out? We answered that on the last one, which was two. But that's a great question, especially in crappy weather. How many times do you stop and say, you know what, let me just change my socks?
Yeah. Well, honestly, the socks, I think I brought 4 pairs of socks, and they were all the padded socks. Uh-huh. And I brought 4 of the padded socks. They were just like ankle high, but they had like good padding on the soles. Mm-hmm. And then I brought 1 pair of like these wool socks in case it was cold. I figured those I could pull up, but like they went almost like all the way up, all the way up to my genitals. No, they just they went really high up the leg.
And where did you buy these socks, sir?
Store off the highway.
PM me outside of this.
Desire, I think, was in the title. Right.
I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, of course. No, those. I just wanted like a heavy duty sock in case like I ever hit cold weather.
Right.
So, but most of the time I wore the lighter socks with the padding, and I changed those only like every day. Like I would wear 1 pair for that whole day, and then if they got wet, I would leave them either out on top of my backpack or if I felt like I was going to have time to wash them at like a town or something, if they had like laundry, then I would just throw them in a bag and tie it up real tight and leave it in my backpack.
You would have to be the caboose of that walking file.
Everybody did it, man.
Put those socks on your backpack, man.
We did it. We did that with a lot of our clothes. We would just leave it on.
Well, I mean, I imagine there are some times where you're going to go a couple days before you find that washing machine or something like that. So you've got to think of something.
Yeah. And that's what we do. Because it was raining so much and I only had 4 pairs of socks, I would wear socks. If it was raining that whole day, the next day I would take them off, put on a new pair, put those on the back to dry, and then keep going, because sometimes it would be a week before we could wash clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's, I think there's even a couple times where we would wash them like in like a stream or something too.
Well, that's, hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, exactly.
You really do. And you can't, beggars can't be choosers out there on the road. You can't say, no, I'll wait till we get to the next major city. Oh, so you're going to wash your clothes in a week. Perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. So, okay. Well, that was a good question, because that's something that I think, because personally, I'm one of those guys that if it's raining, I'm not changing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to change, because that's pointless.
It's just going to get wet again.
It's like you said with the poncho. I'm not going to take it off just for it to start raining again.
And there were some times where I don't even think this was in Washington, but there were times where it would be pouring rain, and I think me and Tony would tie plastic bags over our shoes.
Yeah.
And just to try to keep them, like, dry. And, like, they would still get wet, but it would last a lot longer.
That's gotta be the worst, though. When your shoes are wet.
Yeah, the shoes socks. Oh, that was the worst. Yeah. And that was Washington a lot.
Yeah, that's going to segue into my next question, which you got here from Mara Jane from Facebook as well. She wanted to know, how did you dress to the elements? And I'll kind of tailor that question, because I know you've got technology and you've got weather in front of you. I mean, how many options did you really have? Because I know you could look at the weather and say, oh, well, it's going to rain today.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not like you're in a car where you can, you know, can jump in and be away from the elements. So what do you pick the dirtiest thing and say, it's going to rain today, so I may as well get this thing soaked?
Honestly, I had a certain gray hoodie, American Eagle hoodie.
And
It does still exist. Still have it. It's torn in different pieces, like in parts and stuff like that. I still have it. I wore that and a certain Tampa Bay Rays hat, not the one I'm wearing right now.
Right.
But I had another Tampa Bay Rays hat. I wore that hoodie and that hat pretty, like, I'd say for the entire duration of my trip, like half of that time I wore those two things.
Yeah.
But throughout Washington, I wore mostly those things every day. I always had a hat on, and I always had my hoodie on for two reasons. The hoodie, because it was a little bit cooler in Washington, and it was always raining, I just liked having something longer on. But I also, it had a lot of pockets, and I would have my phone in one pocket. And when I wore, like, pants, your phone rubbing up on your leg for a long time, it actually started, like, chafing my leg and, like, turning my leg red. And it was, like, starting to, like, really hurt. So I had to take that stuff out of my pants pockets, like my phone and my wallet and my iPod. And I started putting it in my hoodie pocket.
Yeah.
And that's where I just kept everything. And then when it would rain, I'd put a poncho on over everything just so my technology didn't get wet.
Of course, because that would have been the worst.
Yeah. So I listened to my iPod while it was raining just because I had the poncho on over my head and everything like that, and I, you know, it helped out. But most of the time, I just dress as best I could. I didn't have a lot of clothes.
Yeah. Could you? Because you know, then you're just adding weight onto your trip. So, all right. So that's going to come into a good question here too from Kristen Thomas on Facebook. She wanted to know, and I don't think we touched on this, how much money did you start with? Because at some point, you're going to have to pay for something.
You
couldn't pack that backpack and expect to make it that long. Right?
I got 6 months with the same food.
I had one pack of beef jerky, and it lasted me all the way across the continental United States.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Sure, buddy. Nope. So how much did you start with? How much did you end with? And if this is going to come up later, you don't have to answer, but did you have to work while doing it?
And this is something I don't know the exact amount that I started with because I was just saving money and throwing money in my savings account. And then when I quit my job, I quit like 2 weeks before I left for the walk.
And where were you working?
I was working at the movie theater. I was doing maintenance and projection. So I was just saving up a lot of money. I told them I was going to quit. When I quit, I had like 2 weeks. I took those 2 weeks to just kind of relax and also like train for the walk and buy all my stuff.
Right.
So like after I bought all my items, I think I had like $3,000 saved up in my savings plus some stuff in my checking account. And I'm trying to think exactly how much I used, but I know that also my mom had a credit card made that was specifically for the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And what she would do is put on like she would pay off so much money and then she would just say, use that if you need something that like you don't have money for, or if you don't have the cash on you or whatever, just use that card and I'll pay it off, or like you can transfer money to me and I'll pay it off with your money or whatever it was. So I, you know, factoring on all that stuff that went onto that card, I'm not positive, but I know for a fact that I had at least $3,000 saved up. I'd say it probably was a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, most of it went to food, and then every once in a while I would get, when times were good, or like I could find a cheap motel, I would get a motel or a campsite if I could find like a cheap campsite.
Right.
But you know, most of the time I was sleeping on the side of the road, but I would do that every once in a while. And other than that, I didn't really pay for too much else.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while we would do something, but
here's an important factor that you told me, is that you guys were really, really hard on each other about not cheating. About not like, well, the town's right over there.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's just get a car ride over there and that'll be that. No, that was not the case. You wanted to walk, so you walked.
The first before we even left, when we were still in the airport, like before we were like, like when we were sleeping over, we made a rule like we are not allowed to stand on wheels. Like we can't do a skateboard, no car ride, no scooter, no bike, nothing. If we got a car ride, like say somebody was like, hey, like, do you want us to go get you food? Or hey, we have a place you can stay.
Right.
We always said that, yes, we could get in the car, drive to stay with them, but they always had to drop us back off right where they picked us up.
Right.
Like that way we weren't cheating. We weren't getting a ride ahead. And that was the big thing. There's no cheating. Wherever we get picked up, if somebody was like, you want to stay with us, or it was couch surfing or something like that, they drop us back off where they pick us up. And we were very adamant about that.
Right. And so that we'll get into that on the next episode of, you know, when did you start running into that kind of stuff? When did you start running into people that were like, hey, can I help you? Did they, you know, give you money? Did they give you food? Did they say, hey, come stay with us?
Mm.
You know what I mean? That's one that a lot of people want to know is basically, what was the general public like when you guys encountered them?
Yeah.
And I think that's something we could touch on next time, because that is a good topic.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people always want to know. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
You hear like somebody say, I'm from here. You know what I mean? Like, my family's from Alabama. So everybody already automatically assumes that my family's crazy.
Redneck.
That they're redneck. And it's really not the case until you've been there.
Right.
I mean, every single state has places where people are crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's one of the biggest parts about this whole trip to me is the people that you ran into, your encounters. I mean, yes, you spent a lot of time heads down with the earbuds in.
Mm.
But, you know, those human interactions are huge.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll start to touch on that stuff next time on episode numero cuatro. That's four for those of you who don't habla español. Thanks again. And here comes our weekly episodic shameless plug of Seven Lamb Producciones. That's productions in Spanish for those of you guys who don't know.
Man, we're just, the next podcast is just going to be all in Spanish.
Yeah, all in Spanish. We're going to call some good friends that speak Spanish, and we're going to speak... never mind. I'm not even going to pull this one up. Yeah. So, yeah, we invite you, if you like this podcast, if you like what you heard, we invite you to take a look at some of our other stuff, our nonfiction podcasts, stuff like The Walk, Paralyzed is a very, very
fictional
popular
podcast.
One. That's why I said fictional. Yeah. Don't challenge me on that. That won't work.
Yeah, Paralyzed, all right. The fictional
stuff. All the real stuff.
If you go to blogtalkradio.com/7lamb, that's SevenLamb, you can find all of our that's our hosting site right now. You can find all of our podcasts on there, and then also we'll have, I'm hoping by this time the website's up, which is 7lamb.com.
should be. And I'll also say, if you guys have any more questions, or you're hearing the podcast and you start thinking about stuff, and I'll have posted this stuff on Twitter and Facebook, don't forget to tweet at us with hashtag the walk, or comment on our Facebook. Feel free to message us. Either Rob or myself are always going to be monitoring that, so we'll try to get back to you 100%. If there's something you want us to talk about, there's a question that we missed, please feel free to let us know. We'll make sure we get back to you. So yeah, everybody have a wonderful day, and we hope to hear from you soon. Bye.
This has been a 7lamb production.